listen, listen, listen. God is speaking to us.
Kairos Milwaukee United Church of Christ presents On the Level, the sermon by the Reverend Gene Randall Bodman, presented on Sunday, February 17th, 2019.
I try to imagine the scene. Jesus, tired from a night spent in prayer on the mountain, surrounded by his newly called 12 apostles, perhaps buoyed up by satisfaction in having found them and named them apostles. And with them, he comes down to a level place. And there he is surrounded by a great crowd of his disciples, not just the 12 who we know by name, but a great crowd, people who have already heard him and identified themselves with him in some way, have claimed themselves as followers of his. But that's not all. There's also a great multitude of other people from all of Judea, people from Jerusalem, far away in the south, people from Tyre and Sidon, far away in the northwest, on the edge of the Jewish territory. Perhaps some of them are even Gentiles. Some in that great crowd wanted to hear him teach, some to be healed of diseases. Some who were vexed with unclean spirits wanted to be freed. And everyone in the crowd was pressing in on him, trying to touch him, because power flowed out of him, and that power healed all of them. Jesus, Luke told us earlier, was filled with the Spirit, and here we see it in action, flowing through him to the people. I imagine him there, full of that power of divine love, full of compassion for the people pressing in on him in what sounds like it must have been a somewhat chaotic scene, pressing in from every side with their needs. And there's Jesus, a small point of stillness in that surging crowd, standing on the level place among the people. And this location on the level place opens up for me what I think we need to know about how to read the startling teaching that comes next. Because next, Jesus lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, "Congratulations to you who are poor. The kingdom of God is yours. Mazel tov to you who are hungry now. You will be filled. Good on ya to those who weep now. You will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, exclude you, defame you on account of me." To be blessed is to be satisfied, unburdened, and at peace. To no longer be striving for justice, but to have been made whole. To be dignified in the world and respected. Jesus declares that the empty and the brokenhearted will be full and satisfied and at peace. And then Jesus said more to those same disciples, some of whom were poor and hungry, full of mourning and excluded, but some of whom lived comfortable lives. He said, "How terrible for you when you are rich now. You've had your easy life. Look out, you who are full now, well cared for. You will go hungry. Watch out, you who are laughing and carefree. You will mourn and weep. How terrible when all people speak well of you. The ancestors did the very same thing to the prophets." Jesus, standing in the midst of the crowd, looks into the faces of his disciples and offers a complete reversal of expectation. This is a hard word to listen to here in suburban America, where most of us are more rich than poor, more full than hungry, more esteemed than reviled, where most of us, through most seasons of our lives, laugh more often than we weep. To us, Jesus says, all of those things that you usually count on as both barometers of your worth and safeguards of your life, those things will fail you. Watch out for all of it, for all of it, your wealth, your satisfaction, your good humor, and public esteem. They are not giving you what you think they are giving you. They are not a guarantee of life and safety for you or your soul. They may, in fact, be a trap. Your privileged life, not without its work or its hardship, but filled with comfort and the rewards our culture has to offer. That life may have trapped you into thinking you arrived where you are all on your own. That since you worked hard, you deserve all the good in your life. Now, I'm not suggesting that you deserve bad, nor do I think Jesus was suggesting that. But there are dangers to resting too comfortably in our rich, full, happy lives. One danger is that we will start to believe that we really have arrived where we are solely by the dint of our own efforts, forgetting to be thankful for the fate that landed us in families, communities, and situations that enabled us to flourish, or for the internal gifts of fortitude and the external gifts of help that enabled us to escape families, communities, and situations that did not enable us to flourish. The danger is in thinking that we alone are responsible for the good in our lives, or the reverse. Another danger of settling into the idea that we deserve our good fortune is that it leads us to believe that when sorrow or job loss or illness or a fall from grace come our way, we have somehow earned that also. It can be especially easy to believe that others are where they are solely by their own doing. If we rest too comfortably in our privilege, it's easy to fall for the lie that the world as it exists, a world in which some are perpetually satisfied while others go eternally hungry, is the world as God intends it. That the systems and structures that are in place already are necessarily good and worthwhile ones because I played by the rules and look where I am. If other people have not flourished, they must not have been playing by the very reasonable, very sound, educational, justice, social assistance, and government systems that are in place. To all of which, Jesus says, woe. In Greek, the word is oia. It's a vocative lament. We translate it as woe. It's more a sound than a word, but it carries the implication, watch out. Watch out, Jesus says. The systems you trust may be telling you lies about worthiness and who deserves to be fed and joyful and held in esteem and where your worthiness comes from. Jesus flips the narrative about what it means to be blessed. As I was pondering and struggling with this text, because I indeed, by world standards, am rich and full, and full of laughter, and I have a pretty nice reputation among my friends. So I struggled very hard with this text. I was reminded again of the words and work of Brian Stevenson. Several of us attended a lecture he gave here in Portland last month at Congregation Beth Israel, and I know that others of you have watched his TED Talk, which is called We Need to Talk About an Injustice. Still others of you have read his beautiful book, Just Mercy, A Story of Justice and Redemption. His work to me is a modern expression of the gospel that helps open up this difficult passage. In Luke, the message of the gospel is that the kingdom of God, the realm of God, a new world is at hand. It's even now in the midst of us, and every one of us is invited to follow Jesus on the way into that realm. A realm where there is healing for the sick, liberation for the captives, strength for the weak, and justice for the deprived. Join in, Jesus says to us through Luke's gospel. Work for it. You belong to it. As I said in an earlier sermon, Mr. Stevenson lays out four ways to be part of bringing about the better world. The first is to get proximate to the problems we care about. Like Jesus in among the crowds on the level place. Like Jesus healing the leper. Like Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners and Pharisees. Like Jesus, proximate to the things we care about. We have to be committed to remaining hopeful, because it is hope that will empower us to stand up in the face of evil when everyone else is sitting down. And it is hope that will empower us to speak when everyone else is being silent. And we must be willing to do uncomfortable things. But the piece that resonated from today's gospel is the second part of what Brian Stevenson said. We must change the narratives that sustain our culture with lies. Both today's gospel and Mr. Stevenson's work challenge us to examine what narratives we may have accepted about what is good and right in the world, just because it was good for us. Stevenson challenges the narratives we have about race in our culture, the lie that white Europeans told themselves about the inferiority of Native American people, so that stealing their land could be defended and actually experienced by white settlers as a virtuous thing to do. They didn't think of themselves as evil. They thought what they were doing was virtuous because they had built their actions on a false narrative of white superiority. To them, Jesus said, "Woe to you, watch out." The ongoing lie that Native American people have nothing to offer the modern world, that the white efforts to destroy their languages, cultures, and community structures were so successful that we don't need to listen to their current lives at all, but can simply mourn the past that we destroyed. To us, Jesus says, "Whoa, watch out." The lie that white Europeans told themselves about the inferiority of African people, that they were less than human, that they did not feel pain the way that Europeans did, that they had no culture, no morality, no claim to their own bodies and lives, that enslaving African people was just and right, that it was a good system. To the people who believed that lie, Jesus said, "Woe to you, watch out." Some have believed the lie that Black Americans were not smart or educated enough to be entrusted with the vote, or the lie that they could not excel in and therefore did not need the amenities of white schools. To the people who believed that lie, Jesus said, "Woe to you, watch out." Or the ongoing lie that our culture instills in all of us, whether we want it or not, that Black bodies are threatening, that Black people have a more criminal nature than white people, and therefore should be policed, arrested, and sentenced in a different way than white people. To those of us who are not even aware that this lie is lying curled in our own minds, implanted by the way the news media presents images of Black and white suspects and victims. If you haven't ever noticed this, stop and pay attention while you're watching the news. Pay attention when a Black victim or suspect is pictured with the most unflattering image that can be taken or found, and a white convict convicted of having raped a young woman behind a dumpster is presented in a coat and tie, smiling sweetly for the picture that was taken for his swim team. Pay attention to the lie that is being instilled in your mind about the relative danger of white boys and Black boys. Pay attention to the presumption of Black dangerousness. It is a lie. It's a lie that is being played out in schools, in neighborhoods, and communities across America every day. And to us, Jesus says, "Watch out. Whoa. Pay attention." To those of us who bought the story that immigrants coming across the southern border are all rapists and drug dealers, that brown people are just as inherently suspect as black people and don't really deserve our help or entrance into our country, the one we invaded and stole. Jesus says, woe to you. Your wealth, your full stomachs, your complacency is blinding you to the lies woven right through every one of the stories that people use to sanctify selfish acts. This is not an easy text. It invites us to go places and do things that are uncomfortable, even upsetting. It invites us to examine the stories we live by and the accommodations we make every day to the culture we live in. It invites us to ask ourselves, where exactly do I place my trust? Do I put my trust in my wealth, my job title, the GPA I earned in college, the esteem in which I am held? Do we put our trust in belonging to God and God's realm? Do we put our trust in belonging to each other? Jesus invites us, every one of us, rich or poor, hungry or satisfied, to join him on the level place. And he says, here is what you can do about where you are. Wake up and love. Love everyone. Love your enemies. Do to other people the way you want them to do to you. Love those even beyond your comfort zone. Be merciful to other people, just as you want them to be merciful to you. Get on the road to the realm where everyone is satisfied and none are poor or oppressed. Don't just wait for the realm of God to come and bail you out. Having been given a glimpse of it, work for it, believe in it, hope in it, participate in it, because you belong to that realm already. There may be trouble and uncomfortable places ahead, but we are not alone. The Spirit that flowed through Jesus is still with us, empowering and enabling us, helping us to know the real story of our worth and the worth of every other person. Amen.